You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 45.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, Omnisend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Today, I'm chatting with Ron Dodd, who's the co-founder and chief marketing officer of Visature, and they're a Shopify Plus agency partner that's focused on helping e-commerce companies grow their brands online and increase their bottom line. Through an omnichannel marketing approach, they incorporate web design, development, conversion rate optimization, Google shopping campaigns, content marketing, social ads, and so much more. You know, they really help Shopify brands to gain more market share, more loyalty, and more growth. Lots of gold nuggets in this episode. I know you can apply towards your business, so I really hope you enjoy this. Hi, Ron. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Oh, doing really well. I'm glad we're able to finally sync our calendars and get together. On a high level, let's talk about what Visature does and kind of what problem it solves for Shopify store owners.
Yeah, perfect. So Visature is an e-commerce marketing agency. You know, if you think of it, we're like a traditional marketing advertising agency, and we focus solely on e-commerce businesses and companies selling products online. And we help them drive more revenue through SEO, PPC, and a conversion rate optimization, and you know, just help them grow. And Shopify Plus is a really great platform that a lot of our customers are on, and a platform we really like to work with and help them grow into new levels they've never been before.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know sometimes in the journey of a customer or a merchant, a lot of times the DIY approach sometimes isn't necessarily the best approach. It's almost better to figure out what your strengths are and double down on those and things that you're not so good at or areas that need improvement. Then it definitely makes sense to you know, to have some professional that focus exclusively on that kind of area. So for in your case, I guess, paid and organic traffic growth. So tell me a bit about you and of your journey so far, kind of leading up to, I guess, launching this digital agency.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, it's been a long road, but back in maybe 2012, I want to say, I graduated college, you know, all full piss and vinegar, wanted to go take on the world and start my own agency after watching Mad Men. And started a marketing agency, kind of doing everything for everyone. And I started working with the e-commerce business that got hit with a penguin penalty back in 2012. And did really great work for them. Got their revenue going back in the right direction. And we're making them almost $80,000 more a month in revenue. And at that point in time, I just thought I should only work for these kind of merchants, you know, e-commerce businesses, because we can see through my direct efforts and our direct efforts at the time, my agency, how much that is translating to sales. And that's kind of when I got hooked on e-commerce. I really just wanted to focus on that. Started attending a lot of trade shows, met my futures business partner at an e-commerce trade show. And my company was just focused on SEO at the time, and his was focused on PPC for e-commerce businesses. It made a lot of sense to merge the two companies together in 2015. Since then, things have been really, really well. We do a great job for clients and, you know, drive a lot of revenue. And so we have a very low client turn, and they like to tell their friends about us too. So it's been a really fun journey so far. You know, when I started up back in 2013, 14, we had maybe five people. Now we're up to about 65, hopefully ending the year about, you know, 85 to 90, and just looking to grow and work with brands that want to be leaders in our space and sell more product online.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing those kind of stories. And it's so interesting, the whole serendipity that can happen by getting out there and going to trade shows and stuff and meeting people. So it's I've experienced that exact same thing in my past with other e-commerce ventures and things that I've been involved with. It's just, it's amazing the amount of talent and synergy that can happen at going to one of these shows.
Yeah, there's a lot of collaboration in the e-commerce industry. So I love the trade shows, get out there and talk to other e-commerce businesses.
Yeah. Definitely. So let's start at the beginning and let's kind of start, I guess, set a foundation, so to speak, for the listeners today. And, you know, like, so what exactly, I guess it's kind of all encompassing, but like, what is search engine marketing and SEO and PPC? There's a lot of like acronyms floating around. So maybe you can kind of share what that is and kind of what you do.
Yeah. And sorry if this is going to go pretty basic. We'll get into like more advanced stuff, hopefully a little bit. But yeah, SEM is just acronym for search engine marketing. So people search on Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, even the Amazon search engine to find products every day. And if you're a merchant selling products online, you need to be there when they're searching for you. And that's how search engine marketing has really come around. It's a very, very old practice in the industry, but it's very complex. And I think that's why it's really hard as a barrier to entry for a lot of merchants just starting off to get into search engine marketing, because it's just such a big learning curve and it's been around for so long, but it's still kind of a very unique industry and a very unique marketing channel for a lot of merchants out there. SEO just is the organic listings. It stands for search engine optimization. You're optimizing your Shopify storefront to get better results in the organic listings. And then PPC just stands for pay-per-click advertising, which back in 1996 or whatever it was a very revolutionary idea for Google to, you know, charge advertising pay per click, right? And so it's just the acronym that's kind of stuck with, I guess, us in the industry forever. Right. That's just basically using the Google search engine and Google shopping it to pay per click when someone's clicking on the ad to come to your store and to hopefully buy a product.
So let's kind of dig into, because you got quite a few topics here for SEM and SEO and PPC, and there's quite a few other things that I want to chat about today, but let's kind of unpack SEO first, which is the search engine optimization. So how can Shopify merchants kind of use this to drive customers to their website?
SEO is definitely one of those really underutilized tactics out there. You know, no matter how much advertising Google packs on the search results when shopping, people still click on organic listings. So it's really paramount to focus on that because it's a huge opportunity. And SEO is just, if I could simplify it down, it's just giving the user the content they want the fastest. So one of the great things about Shopify Plus is all the storefronts are really fast. You're able to load your products really quickly when they're searching for you. But SEO is basically just, you know, being there when someone's searching for you. So if you have a category page of linen sheets, you know, and someone's searching for linen sheets, you want that category page to show up when someone's searching for linen sheets in Google. And so on that, you know, collections page, you have your title tag focused around linen sheets, your meta description, you know, tag with content focused on linen sheets. And, you know, you'd have products that are focused on linen sheets, and that would match that searcher intent of someone searching for that. So that's kind of SEO in a nutshell. And from there, there's been this 15-year rat race with Google of, you know, people trying to game the system and stuff. But it's simply, and especially with Rank Brain that's come out recently, it's really just about giving the user the best experience. It's about click-through rate. So you want people clicking on your listing the most, compared to everyone else on the first page. And then when they come to your listing, your page, you want them to stay on there longer. You want them to click on other links in your page because if they click back right away, Google might count that as a negative score using the RankBrain kind of algorithm. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about a recent ranking factor called dwell time that's been floating around the SEO community a bit too. Can you can you share anything that you know about what dwell time is and why it's important?
Yeah, yeah, great question. So dwell time's actually been around for I think since 2014. They started implementing it. It actually started with SEO thought leader, which if you ever heard of him, Rand Fishkin. He one day on Twitter said, "Hey everyone, I want you to go Google this very particular search phrase in Google. Go to page 2 and click on my listing, and then you know stand there for a couple seconds and click on another listing." Or, you know, and so a lot of people did. They went to page 2, clicked on it, and his ranking went literally up from page 2 to like the number 2 or 3 position, like within a couple hours. And so then we kind of, he discovered, hey, usability really impacts, you know, a search result, right? If people are coming to your webpage and staying a long time and clicking on other places, then Google's going to count that as a positive experience. And that is a good result for that particular search phrase. So it's kind of how dwell time started. It's just Google's way to understand if they're giving people the right results when they're searching. If they go to a page and leave right away, it's not good. Google doesn't think that did its job right. But if they stay a long time and they have a stay on page a long time, then it's going to give them a positive score. So
yeah,
it's kind of easy way.
I can definitely see that. It does make kind of sense. And, you know, hence the reasons why I tend to recommend kind of long form product pages now, because I guess it's adding to that dwell time where, you know, you're really sharing the benefits of this particular product with some visuals, usually a video, some kind of social proof with potentially logos and different kind of trust seals and things. And instead of the standard, even like product reviews, company reviews, it's very interesting to have a lot of those sorts of tactics all on a product details page, which I guess is adding to the fact that through search, the page was located and they're spending a lot of time on this page because there's a lot of stuff on the page, you know, to consume.
No, I mean, you're so spot on with that. And is really SEO different from Amazon to Google? I mean, because Amazon, you're doing, you know, clicks, you're trying to optimize for conversions, right? But in Google, you know, people are trying to, you know, worry about meta tiles, descriptions, and those kind of things. If you put more infographics, and especially like video content, right, like you just said, perfect. If they're staying on your product pages longer and buying your product and clicking on it, that's going to help your SEO. So I don't really know if there's really a difference between Amazon SEO or Google SEO. It's all the same thing. You're just trying to get people to engage with your content, buy your product, stay on site longer, and good things happen when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to bring up another topic. This is more for the nerds, I think, kind of listening to the show. But I hear a lot of chatter and a lot of things been published about, you know, voice search, you know, with Alexa and Google Home and Google Voice. Lots of stuff going on. So they're almost saying that it's kind of the next big thing that I think marketers should kind of consider. So how do you think voice search is going to impact this with Shopify merchants?
Yeah, I like to be the cool kid that's like, oh no, that's not a big deal, you know? And I've been talking about this for a couple of years and I was kind of the forefront, like, hey, let's take a step back. Let's think about voice search, right? E-commerce is very visual. We're, you know, even like Shopify is, you know, pushing VR, you know, and virtual reality, you know, and it's very visual. And I always tell my friends, I think it's going to impact CPGs like on Amazon, like, hey, Siri, hey, so I use Alexa at Amazon and like, hey, you know, buy, you know, 18 count brawny paper towels, right? I think that will be impacted, but no one's going to be searching for a lift kit for their F-150 on a, you know, voice search.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to impact certain merchants, and I think it will impact research query intent keyword phrases, which is a fancy word for people who are searching for answers to things. But as long as you have great content, I think too many people try to do Google's job for them. Google's job is to find the best content. As long as you have the best content, they're going to figure out like how to read your pages and understand it. So you definitely want to have their best practices they have outlined, but you know, it's just about having the best content possible. And as long as you do that, good things happen in Google search, you know, when it comes to voice search. So I think just a lot of people will be naturally optimized for voice search when it becomes a bigger part of consumer behavior.
So I guess the thought is that, you know, so if you truly are in the kind of consumer packaged goods market, there could be an opportunity for it. But overall, it shouldn't be like near the top of your list for conversion strategies or things that you should be working on with your Shopify store.
Yeah, I haven't seen any ways that, you know, I've seen, you know, merchants be really successful voice search, if that makes sense. I think for Amazon, you know, voice search will be very impactful, especially for CPGs, because they're going to be fighting over space. That's going to be very, very kind of the rich get richer, I guess, you know, if someone searches like paper towels, Amazon, you know, might use their Amazon choice, you know, as the, right. the main one. So it'll be interesting. I think the kind of the people that will be most impacted will be CPGs or very, very highly competitive spaces with highly commoditized goods.
At least that kind of clears up the voice search, because I had my own merchants and clients have asked that question recently about that. So at least I get some clarity now, and we're sure that with the audience. I appreciate that. So let's talk about some pitfalls or kind of some mistakes and stuff that maybe Shopify merchants have made, you know, when it comes to SEO now.
Yeah, I would say focusing on technical SEO is definitely a big one. I think a lot of Shopify merchants are like think that there's some magical thing that you do my code and then, you know, you just rank higher, right? And that's not the case. Shopify, Shopify Plus are great for SEO. There's not like much that you could do to mess it up. It's fast. It's great for SEO, right? Compared to if you just custom coded a cart solution today, there's probably a lot of things you'd mess up that Google wouldn't like that would devalue your site. So, you know, really for SEO in Shopify, it's really just focusing on attracting high quality backlinks, getting engagement through content. You know, those are the winning ways I see Shopify merchants really paving the way when it comes to SEO. And then another thing that I think, especially for the newer ones to start out, is just not learning SEO and just kind of, you know, just outsourcing and just saying, you deal with it, right? I talked to a merchant today and they just hired a marketing manager and they just said, you go figure out SEO, right? That's not really going to set up them for success. And also just outsourcing completely, not learning it is, you know, you're not setting yourself up for success. You want to know it to it. Know enough to be dangerous and understand it and understand what's working, what isn't working, and just know from a very high level how it works and, you know, how it impacts, you know, your storefront.
I would agree with you on the content and the backlinks. I mean, that's kind of one of the things I used to do in my agency days was I do a backlink profile of, you know, of the current merchant that I'm working with. And then, you know, trying to figure out based on maybe some of their head terms, the main primary keywords that are important for their brand and try to figure out, well, who are their main competitors? And then doing a backlink profile of those competitors and going, okay, is there an opportunity between the backlinks that I currently have and the backlinks that all my competitors have? And is there synergy somewhere? Like, well, why don't I have these backlinks that these competitors have? Because, and then you take a look to see where they're actually linking to, and you're like, oh, they have a significant piece of evergreen content. They've got some kind of a how-to, a tips, a guidebook, a something. They've created some really high quality content, dwell time, people are linking to it. Like, it's just overall, it's a great strategy to think about your target audience. Can you create content that resonates with them? And then in the meantime, where else can you share it? Well, who else is sharing similar content to the market, like your competitors, based on their backlink profile? And that's a really interesting strategy to go out there and start building your SEO value. And I'm assuming that's something that your agency would do over time.
Yeah. We've always called it, reverse engineering. Pull the competitors' backlinks and see what's doing well. It should be very, very much a part of your, especially the foundation of your strategy to understand where your competitor is doing well and try to replicate some of their success. Sometimes I actually don't like to replicate some of my competitors' success because they're actually really bad at SEO. I find that a lot of times. I see a lot of merchants go astray when they look at, like a big retailer is doing it this way online. Like their big competitor, but they might not be doing it the right way. They might just be just lucked into a top ranking, you know, just because they have a huge backlink profile or something. So sometimes it's always good to look at your competitors, but always take with a grain of salt is basically what I'm trying to say. But yeah, definitely look at their backlink profile, seeing what's working really well. You can do it very easily with Ahrefs. You just go and plug in your competitors, pull their backlinks, see what their most high powered ones are, and try to get the same high quality backlinks. You know, you can write articles for these niche communities. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to get out there and engage with your target audience on these websites that, you know, your target audience resides on.
Yeah, it reminds me of a fellow by the name of Brian Dean from Backlinko, pretty popular dude doing his SEO
the godfather.
He is indeed. And then, you know, it's interesting. He had this solution, or I guess he coined this thing called the skyscraper technique. And just, I'll briefly go over it. I think I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's interesting concept where he literally would say, hey, you know, what's the kind of the head term or some target keyword that's important for you? Hey, Mr. Brand Owner. And then, well, who's already ranking in the top three for these keywords, and then looking at these articles and going, hey, wait a second, can I write a more epic piece of content that kind of amalgamates these top three organic placements, and then really just offering better value, newer, better than what's already out there, or more relevant. And he's proven it many times. I think he's only written 40 or so pieces.
Yeah, it's like 50, and he continuously updates them. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, like it's insane, all with the skyscraper technique. So it's an interesting concept. I will link it in those notes and stuff like that. But let's talk about a few other topics here. So let's get into maybe some specific, I don't know, maybe some tactics and stuff when it comes to, I guess, to growing a brand organically in SEO. Like, is there anything that you can kind of share that you've seen?
Yeah, skyscraper technique.
Yeah, that's
stole
one of them
from me. I'm just kidding. I mean, I feel like content marketing is so strong right now. And yeah, you could definitely do the Brian Dean method, which is very, very focused research. I'm of the school of thought that I like to throw a bunch of spaghetti on the wall and see what works. Because really in content marketing, you never know until you try. And you know, the spaghetti on the wall is just one method I like to do as well. And then once you figure out what works in those little content hubs, you can go deeper into those content hubs. Like even for instance, like Visitor as a company, the main way that we've always gotten business throughout the years is through SEO. Invest a lot of resources. We have a full-time team member dedicated to our content marketing team. We have three, you know, freelance writers we use at all times, and our SEO team also does additional work. It's spent a lot of resources on it. And we develop a lot of content. We figured out that Amazon is working really well. It's actually our highest producing blogs are in Amazon, right? So we produce a lot of content around Amazon because we figured out it's a gold mine, right? And so as merchants, you know, trying to get customers and stuff and building your brands, content marketing is a great way to do that. Developing content on site, promoting it to the right people on social media, like you're talking about, you know, even getting a little bit more advanced, going to using tools like Buzzsumo and Ahrefs and finding communities that talk about your kind of content and getting that content promoted through those channels as well. And even writing content for external websites as well is a really powerful strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost like you're using some, you know, other people's audiences or kind of their domain authority. And then, yeah, hopefully getting a follow link back to your website is pretty mm-hmm. powerful.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So let's pivot a little bit over now to, I guess, the PPC, this paid, I guess we'll call the pay-per-click kind of advertising, the pay-to-play. Yeah. So let's talk about how does it work and how should a merchant start advertising with Google?
Great question. So I think starting off, like, in just so people out there may be really new to PPC, when you search, like, there's two types of kind of big categories of Google search. I like to bucket them in. It's the Google Shopping carousel, which is that like carousel that fires at the top. Generally, when someone searches a more kind of like category or product term, that's going to fire the shopping ads, and then there's search ads below that. For the most part, and even as us as an agency, we focus almost all of our time exclusively on the shopping ads, and we have been for the past 2 or 3 years because that's where consumer behavior has been going, and that's where you get the highest return on your advertising spend, which is an abbreviation called ROAS. So I always think starting at shopping is always the best course, and then retargeting, dynamic retargeting. So if you're just starting out, I mean, you can use a tool like AdRoll to go start doing retargeting. You can go into Google, and I think Shopify is a new way that you can do Google Shopping advertising very easily too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's just go in there, just go waste some money on it and try out Google Shopping. It's a great way to get your products out there. Google decides what search phrases you're going to show up for. Once you're spending a lot of money and making a lot of money out of it, then it might make sense to go get an agency. And then instead of wasting money advertising, that agency fee will come in and help, you know, reduce some of the wasted spend and earn more money, which is the point of the agencies, right?
Right.
But I think just starting off, just go in there, Google Shopping, just fire it off, see what's happening. You know, even Facebook now and social retargeting as well, using social media advertising tools. And I think don't just go out there and outsource it. I think learning it yourself is really, really important, and really understanding how agencies work, what's the point of the agencies, you know, when you outsource this advertising to them. Because even if you waste money, it's always good to have that kind of knowledge and understand how it works. But yeah, just go in there. It's really easy. Google how to run Google Shopping and Shopify.
Yeah.
Follow the necessary steps, start, let it run, see what happens, and just kind of go from there.
Yeah, I'm totally into that. I know recently I interviewed shopmessage.me, which was a Facebook Messenger retargeting solution. There's a few of them that are in the Shopify app store right now. This one particularly has been doing really, really well. And I have some benefits of being able to log into a lot of merchants' admins to kind of see the significant lift in revenue. So it's so interesting. Some of the, yeah, it is a game changer because it's so, you know, with an average conversion rate of, let's call it 2% for sake of argument, there's 98.
I think it's 2%. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like 98 out of 100 are flying away somewhere. And, you know, you got to have a strategy in place to take care of that. But that's certainly was another show. But so let's talk about, like, what are successful merchants doing right now that can utilize PPC? Like, what are the key things that you can share?
Yeah, I would say first is, you know, patience in it. I think so many merchants want to go into almost any marketing channel and just say, you know, I'm going to do this in a 3-month test pilot. Even some people do like 1 test pilot. I'm just going to throw some money advertising and see what works. It's like the worst thing you could ever do. You might as well just not do any marketing channel. I feel like any marketing channel, you need to give it 6 months, a year to really see if it works and understand. And, you know, it takes time to build up marketing channels. A big problem with e-commerce merchants in general is, you know, especially merchants that are coming into a space, like, let's say you start a brand that sells mattresses online and you're going to go and compete against Casper, you know, all these other big brands, Serta Simmons. I mean, that's a tough market. They have a 15-year head, especially Serta Simmons, they have a 15-year head start on doing PPC on you, on doing SEO, and you better have the most disruptive products imaginable because you're going into a very competitive space, right? And so the first kind of thing is, you know, just having patience for it, understanding it takes time to build out marketing channels, whether it's advertising, organic, etc. So I think that's the first thing is the ones that have patience for it. And then also understanding your customer lifetime value too, especially if you have repeat customers. Let's say you sell a product that's like $20 and your repeat customers, you know, they need to buy it every quarter. You shouldn't be calculating your budget into how many times they came and bought the $20 product. It should be what's the lifetime value of your customer, and you know how much it is to earn a customer, and then that's going to translate into your email marketing to get them to come back to buy again. So those are probably the first two things. Again, not being afraid to waste some budget on PPC to really understand what works, especially in shopping, and be able to test. You should always be testing, always failing fast to understand what works and continuously trying new things. And then, yeah, like I said, just really understanding a little bit about, you know, PPC and understanding how shopping works and understanding these different assets, parts of the business, understanding different, you know, channels that you could be advertising into as well. And then also just really understanding your product offering too. I see a lot of merchants, and this is a huge pitfall, is like they'll go and sell on Amazon and do, you know, discounted prices on like their marketplaces, but then they go sell full retail price on their website and go into shopping. It's like, well, you're not going to win in shopping because A, you have the highest price in shopping, which is a huge pitfall. B, it's like, you know, you're not as trusted as Amazon or Walmart or these other marketplaces, you know. So you just want to understand the market and be real with yourself when you're advertising or even you're doing SEO. Like, why would someone choose you over the marketplaces, even your products or your competitors when you're in that top place in Google, right? So really understand your pricing, your competitive difference offering, making sure you have reviews as well. You have to have reviews on products to be successful in search. When it shows up in the rich snippets and organic search and the paid ads, those reviews are critical to getting high click-through rate and a conversion rate. Yeah, I'd say those are probably the most successful. I could go on and on and on, but I'll stop there.
No doubt. So let's talk about paid acquisition strategies. Kind of what's the future hold for PPC and paid acquisition?
Yeah. So ironically, like probably 3 years ago, if you like, you know, held me to a lie detector test, I'd probably say, you know, Facebook is going to be like the future, right? And, you know, and we're obviously Google is our biggest advertiser that our clients spend in. And that's what we really optimize on. You know, we're a Google Premier partner. And 3 years ago, I would be like, I think we're, you know, Facebook's going to be the biggest kingpin, right? And now we've seen this switch from, I don't think Facebook probably did the right things. And now Google has become a bigger part of publishers' referral traffic. And subsequently, I think, you know, Google's going to continue being Google, right? They're, what, 90% of the market share now. I think it's only really going to grow in the search. So I think Google's going to continue being Google. They're going to try to probably eliminate some agencies, eliminate the need for agencies with their kind of express programs. But I think Google will only continue to grow as consumer behavior continues to grow with mm-hmm. Google. The other big opportunity I see is Amazon. I think Amazon advertising is just huge right now. Everyone's trying to jump in it right now. I feel like that's going to be the next big thing right now, at least for the next couple of years. I still think social is going to be very important in Facebook and everything, of course, especially during retargeting. But if I had to kind of predict the future again, I was wrong 3 years ago. So take this grain of salt. Yeah. I think probably Amazon and Google are going to be the two biggest headbutting for the foreseeable future when it comes to getting that market share.
Yeah, I read an article recently. It looks like this year, I guess in 2018, Amazon's going to do about $180 billion in revenue. And they're saying that, you know, 50 cents on every dollar that's spent in like in goods is bought on Amazon. So it's one of those questions you have to ask yourself. You know, there are people that are looking for products that you sell, and you have to decide, do you want to play in that same space? Because if you don't, then even a small selection of your products, just merely for the exposure part of it, like don't have all sizes and all colors, just at least get some of your SKUs up there into Amazon, because people are searching for what it is that you sell. But on the flip side, though, you certainly need to have a hybrid approach for sure of having your own store. So like, because who actually owns the customer when it goes to Amazon? Well, Amazon does. But we can't deny the fact that half of this $180 billion is going to Amazon. So it makes sense.
We can do 5 podcasts on Amazon compared to direct consumer sites. Yeah. I mean, it's so true. Amazon, I feel like, is pushing away customers. Continuously. And to be frank with you, I mean, Jeff Bezos is my best friend because he helps my business grow, because all of our customers, you know, want to go direct to consumer online because they're just tired of dealing with Amazon. And some of them just refuse to deal with Amazon. And I think we'll see what happens. I mean, Amazon obviously is the kingpin, you know, but we'll see. I feel like a lot of brands are getting tired of it, and we'll see how much their voting power really matters soon by going direct to consumer. But I know all brands really want to go direct to consumer using their websites, which obviously is great for Shopify, great for us, and great for the merchant too, because they have the highest margins there, you know, great for the consumer.
So definitely.
We'll see.
So let's talk about like Shopify, like a Shopify merchant now. And we talked about like SEO, we talked about PPC. So like, where should our merchants start out? Should they start it with one of those things? Should they dabble in both at the beginning?
It's a great question. It's really case by case basis. Obviously, money makes sense to reach out some agencies, not with the purchasing, not even the intent of using them, but just get their advice on what to start first. Right. I think just starting shopping and retargeting are just basic 101 things you should start out. If I had a really cool product that I invented and I'm, you know, ready to go sell them on Shopify, I'm starting retargeting shopping immediately. And then I'm learning SEO. I'm going to go subscribe to Search Engine Journal, Practical E-commerce, you know, those Shopify's blog, you know, I'm going to go learn about SEO and start just experimenting and trying new things and understanding what is a backlink, you know, how do I get backlinks? And then just going down that rabbit hole, just trying new things and experimenting. If you have to focus your time on one thing, you know, again, I probably do SEO, but, you know, because PPC can be a little bit more automated. I would probably just go and try to get some advice from, you know, some SEO agencies, consultants, and just try to figure out which is best first to devote your time to.
Yeah. So as far as hiring an agency or a marketing company like yours, it's like, you know, maybe can you chat briefly about that, about like what's the vetting process when a merchant might realize that maybe it is time to kind of outsource some of the work? I've learned the basics, but I want to go to the next level. Is that typically what happens with your clients?
Yeah. Happy to answer that. So yeah, one of the good things about being the salesperson for my company is I'm always looking for businesses that'll be good fits for us for years, you know. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of clients over the years, and a lot of successful clients have been with us for 7 years now. And I'd say the best ones that we've always had, the best relationships, have always been similar. It's always been, hi Ron, I'm doing $60,000-$80,000 a month by my own, not really know what I'm doing. I need someone to put gasoline on the fire. I feel like that's always the best time to engage in a marketing agency, is when you have something good going and you need basically a professional to take you to the next level. I don't think it's when like, hey, I just got this really cool product, I started a Shopify store, I have no sales yet, I need to have a marketing agency go do this. It should always be, I figured out a little bit on my own, we're doing really well, we got sales off the ground, we're doing well, and that's the time to get a marketing agency, is really throw gas on the fire. And then, of course, if you're, you know, a big company too, you know, you have very proven sales and track record and you just started, you know, Shopify, or you switched from a platform to Shopify, then, you know, it probably makes sense to engage an agency, you know, and sometimes it might make sense to have just an internal team members. You're the bigger kind of companies on Shopify, mm-hmm. or a hybrid of internal people plus agencies. I've seen it kind of go both ways. A lot of our clients have internal people. A lot of our clients are just the president and CEO, and you know, we're his whole marketing team, really. So it just really depends. But I would say, you know, when you're ready to hire that agency, get trust enough, know enough to be dangerous, and have that proof of concept with your marketing, where it's like, hey, this is working. I'm doing this like 10 hours a week. If I have a marketing agency go put gasoline on fire, we're going to be really successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. My former agency that I used to work for, we did that exact same kind of hybrid approach too, where, you know, we would do quite a few tactics and some strategy that they weren't good at, but then we would ask them, the client, to do a few things that they were good at because they really knew the product well, if it was a content or kind of certain kind of outreach and things. So it's nice to have kind of a hybrid approach. At some point it worked. And then at some point, exactly. I guess what happens at the point when, you know, you're throwing the gasoline on the fire, and I guess as brands kind of start scaling up, then I guess, do you find that they kiss the agency goodbye and have full-time employees at that point focusing on these sort of strategies, or is it still a hybrid approach even as companies scale?
It really depends. It really depends on the agency. I mean, sorry, the company too. Some people just like have all internal people have total control over their marketing aspects. Some are a lot more fluid with it, and you know, want to have a hybrid approach of the agency. We've definitely worked ourselves off job before. We lose clients to merger acquisitions all the time. You know, we had one client got acquired by the big public company, and then they had a full internal team of like, you know, 10 PPC specialists. It's like, well, wow. Obviously you're gonna go internal, right? So.
Right.
It really depends. You know, if I was the, you know, it's funny, I was auditing a potential client site today, and they hired a digital marketing manager. And I was just thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, what would I do if I was a digital marketing manager? You know, obviously I would do my certain roles, but I always think that, you know, of course I'm biased, a specialized agency is always a good thing because all they do is that, right? So like Visitor, we have 30 full-time folks dedicated to SEO, where all they do is sleep, breathe, eat, SEO for e-commerce businesses. You can't really hire that. I mean, well, I guess you can maybe hire over guys, but please don't do that. It's really hard to get that kind of experience, right? Especially when you're a digital marketing manager, you have your hands on a lot of different things. So, you know, specialized agencies are always great for, you know, certain reasons. You know, it just really depends on, I guess, your comfort level with agencies and working and outsourcing work and so forth.
I see. Yeah, that's really good advice, though. So it's this show's been very educational, very near and dear to my heart. I really appreciate it. I'm really hoping that the listeners are getting a ton of value kind of out of the show. And I could tell that we could likely record for hours. We are nearing the end of the show for today. But so do you have any kind of closing comments or kind of any takeaways that you would like to leave with the listeners today?
Yeah, I really appreciate the time here. You know, I'm really excited to really help Shopify merchants out there grow. If you have any questions or anything, just always please feel free to reach out to me. But, you know, closing takeaways, you know, I can't stress it enough how many people I've talked to where they want to come and just outsource their marketing. I always suggest, always please learn marketing, understand SEO, understand PPC, understand these different disciplines, just to know enough to be dangerous, because those are the most successful clients I have and the most successful Shopify merchants I've seen grow the fastest. The people who understand just enough to be dangerous, don't know, have to know everything, don't have to be an expert in it, just know enough to be dangerous and know what it is and how it works and how it makes them successful.
And nice thing too, I think it helps too to manage expectations too, when you have somewhat of a cursory knowledge of paid and organic traffic and the acquisition of that, then maybe not an expert level at it, but at least it's easier for you at that point to saying, hey, we're going to manage expectations about, okay, how long SEO actually takes, or, you know, when does the ROI start kicking in on a paid campaign? And so that's
people
a good takeaway.
People don't hear this, but it took Visitor probably 2 years to get our SEO just really kicking in high gear. And it took 2 years, and now it's our number one lead source. It's 70% of our business comes from SEO and content marketing. So it's definitely, patience is a virtue when it comes to marketing in general. Now you really think it's just SEO.
Absolutely. So how can people learn more about Visitor and kind of all the digital marketing services that you offer?
Yeah, please visit our website. It's a visitor, and it's kind of weird. It's visiture, like visit and then ure.com. And just go there. We have tons of case studies, tons of videos about our team and everything. Love for you all to learn as much as you can about us. And then please feel free to reach out to me, email me anytime. My name's Ron. It's just R-O-N at visitor, visiture.com. I'm more than happy to sit down with anyone who's interested and do a live audit, learn more about you all out there, and help where I can. You know, want to help where I can with Shopify merchants and help you all grow your businesses. I'm more than happy to do a live SEO audit, and we also do free PPC audits for qualifying people who spend more than $10,000 a month in Google.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that. I think there's going to be quite a few listeners that'll take you up on that offer that are cool. at that kind of spend level. Yeah. So I'll make sure that I update the show notes for this episode, kind of with all the links that were mentioned. And, you know, this has been great. You know, thanks, Ron, for kind of sharing all your expertise today and for all things organic and paid. I much appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, I appreciate it. I didn't know you knew so much about SEO. It's awesome, though. I was like, oh, yeah. You're a skyscraper. Cool.
Okay. Well, have yourself an awesome day. This episode was brought to you by OmniSend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try OmniSend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/OmniSend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.